one day I was at school and I imitated, started imitating Speedy Gonzalez. And I was like, yapa, 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 and I was really good at it. And the guy who was the bully from the class, he said, like, I saw that. And I was like, no, 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 do it again. And I was like, no, no, no. He said, do it again or I'll beat you up. And I was like, Speedy Gonzalez, yapa, yapa, yapa. And during breaks, he will take me to these other guys, you know, hired.
You became his muse. You became the bully's muse.
I was his clown. I was his freaking clown. Yeah. And the guy said to me, do Speedy Gonzalez. This guy does great Speedy Gonzalez. I was like, yeah, but yeah, but. And one time I was like, oh, man. He's like, do it all. We're going to beat the shit out of you.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh. And then one day he was like, I got bored of Speedy Gonzalez. Just mix it up. Something else.
That's so funny. He was like, instead of like, give me your lunch money, he's like, come up with some new voices, man.
I need some new material.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You got bullied into being a talented actor.
Welcome to Stand By with JJ and Francisco. He's JJ.
I
say JJ first. Yeah, man, it's fun because we have another amazing guest today. This guy's a good friend of mine. He's actually from Venezuela, where I was born, but he's actually like more Venezuelan.
Yes.
Because he was like, he just like came here like, I guess like 5 years ago, I believe.
Does that happen? Do you guys do top Trumps? Like who's more
Venezuelan? No, that's, it's
I'm
obvious
way
that
more
he
Venezuelan.
Is.
He's way, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, let's introduce him. His name is Guillermo Garcia. He's an actor and now he started doing stand-up. We'll also tell this story as well, but like he's, you know him right now from Mayans MC. He's playing right now in the new season of Mayans. He plays El Banquero, which is one of the narco bad guy, you know. And he also has been in a lot of great movies in Latin America and Venezuela. There's one called My Straight Son, which won some awards in Spain, right? I believe so.
Yeah, this is called the Goya Award.
The Goya Award, yeah.
The Goya Award is really important.
But it's not
the Goya is like a can of beans.
Yeah, yeah. Not
that's,
the
can. Yeah, I bought a tin of those.
No.
Oh, I have a few awards of my own. They taste delicious.
Awesome. No, Goya is from Spain, right? Yeah, it's
like,
kind of like...
It's like really important. It's like huge, man.
Like the Oscars of Spain?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, is Goya, is it a name? Is it a famous name that's not just associated with beans?
It's a famous painter, actually.
It's a famous painter?
Yeah.
Who also loved beans, as far as idiots like me are concerned.
So welcome to the podcast. And I kind of know a lot about you, so if you want to ask the questions, and I kind of like, because it's a great story to how we met, because his main profession, you've always been acting since like the beginning. Yeah, he's an actor, you know, and
right.
Like,
so okay, well, since... I do have my first question,
all right,
then, which would be, as an actor coming up in Venezuela,
mm-hmm.
did you have America, like when you're a Venezuelan actor, is America on your... Like in your target zone, or are you just like, I'm going to be a Venezuelan actor?
No,
Hollywood,
been.
Yeah.
Hollywood is like, yeah, it's like, I always see it's like you're a baseball player.
Right.
And you can enjoy, you know, playing at your league and, you know, back home because we have a really amazing baseball players.
Right. Right?
But you always want to play for the Yankees.
Right, okay.
Like, oh, yeah,
in the major leagues.
Run,
yeah.
Major leagues, you know. And actually, like, the Yankees the team is, like, I don't know.
No, I hate the Yankees. That's why I fuck the Yankees.
Oh, yeah, that's why you're
I'm an Orioles. Fuck
like,
the Yankees.
In the U.S.
Yeah, the major leagues.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, but everybody says the Yankees, New York Yankees.
Nah, fuck the Yankees.
No. Yeah, no, I'm with you on that one. I'm an underdog guy, too. New York you're Mets. I don't like Manchester United for the same reason. Everybody always, and then the New York Yankees. I like the underdog.
You're Rebels. Generally. Okay.
But we get it. We get that metaphor. So, because are there like, just like there's comedians in Britain, I know comedians in Britain who I started out with who are just anti-America. You know, like I'd never go to America.
Never.
And then, like, I forgot about it for a while. I was a good 15 years into my career before I started going, hey, maybe I should go to the place where my accent is more familiar. And go to
America. It's also different when you're like when you're from Britain, where you're like also part of a first world country. And then, like, when you're part of a third world country, you just want to get the fuck out. Yeah, I mean, you're like, I want to go there.
Okay, that's a good point. So there's also a standard of living.
Let me break it down to you. Like, if I do here what I used to do there, I did there, I will have a fucking island. Really? The salaries are very different. It's like, it's very. But also, I do have to say, like, for me, I would love to work in Argentina as well. Argentina has the best movies of Latin America.
Yeah.
I actually studied in Argentina acting. So I went to Argentina. I worked in Colombia. And for me, I do got to say that I appreciate so much to have worked there and all my journey through these countries because we don't have budget there. So there's a lot of mystic. There's a lot of rehearsal. There's a lot of collaboration. So the director is like, hey, man, can we hang out and talk about the scene that we need to do tomorrow? And then it's like there's a lot of, you know, people working together and the tone is the same. So everybody here is very different. Here's like everybody's doing their own thing.
Okay.
So you have like big budgets and you have like big productions. But everybody's like, okay, yeah, we can do this like 100 times. So we can make mistakes back home. I remember my first movie, the director called me and said, like, it was those cameras, you know, the film cameras.
Yeah.
They have like that sound, right? And he will say to me, hey, don't make a mistake. Because when you hear that machine going, that's money coming out of my pocket.
Right.
Yeah.
So.
And by the way,
time to fart around and like, break character just for the outtakes.
And by the way, that was a porn that he was shooting. So like, he's like, you better not come right now, motherfucker.
every second matters even more.
Oh, come on, man.
This is your money and the money shot.
So you always wanted to act since you were little? Like,
oh, totally, man.
Since you began, like since you were like a little kid, that was your thing?
Yeah, like a little kid, I wanted to be an actor and I did a lot of like poetry. So I will say
poetry.
So
you were sensitive?
Yeah, very sensitive.
He got beat up with that. No, I'm kidding.
I got bullied a lot.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's the truth.
Wow.
You know, funny thing, I used to do dubbing in Spanish, and that's, I mean, I know you know the story, but I used to do dubbing in Spanish for cartoons, like the Green Lantern for the Justice League.
Oh,
I did it for Latin America. So when I was a kid, I was so shy that I would do voices. I was all on all the time, right? And I studied at school of the Opus Dei.
Hey, that isolation makes you get good at those things.
Yeah, totally. Totally, yeah. It's like you have to be a weird in order to get some talent out of that.
Yeah.
And then one day I was at school and I started imitating Speedy Gonzalez. And I was like, yapa, 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 yapa. And I was really good at it. And the whole class was laughing. But I looked like Forrest Gump. So nobody will suspect that it was me. And the guy...
Wait, what do you mean you look like Forrest Gump?
I was like very naive guy. You know, I wasn't like going to pull something that, you know, I was not going to make jokes about it. I was very like...
Yeah, people, you didn't have confidence from your popularity
you were making the voices like nobody knew who was you?
Yeah, exactly. Nobody knew it was me.
Oh,
yeah,
got it, exactly. got it.
So everybody would laugh and I would be like, yeah, but... And the guy who was the bully from the class, he said like, I saw that. And I was like, no, do it again. And I was like, no. He said, do it again or I'll beat you up. And I was like, spinning, I was like, yeah, but... And during breaks, he will take me to these other guys, you know, hired.
You became his muse. He became the bully's muse.
I was his clown. I was his freaking clown. Yeah. And the guy said to me, do Speedy Gonzalez. This guy does great Speedy Gonzalez. I was like, yeah, but. And one time I was like, oh, man. He's like, do it all. We're going to beat the shit out of you.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh. And then one day he was like, I got bored of Speedy Gonzalez. Just mix it up. Something
That's so funny. He was like, instead of like, give me your lunch money, he's like, come up with some new voices, man.
I need some new material.
Yeah.
You got bullied into being a talented actor.
He used to kick my ass.
That's actually your first manager. That was your first talent agent. He's like, come on, man. Everybody's got, hey, we got we got to come up with this something that's Speedy Gonzalez. It's been 2 weeks. Keep doing the same shit. People are getting tired of it. Come on. You got something else? You got Fred Flintstone? Come on.
Yeah, that was pretty much how
we
did it.
That's fantastic.
Yep.
So, and that's So that was your first foray was the cartoons then?
I was doing theater though. I started doing theater. I majored in theater and journalism because back home, like, I mean, Venezuela, you know this, Francisco, like your mom is like, you want to be a rapper? Okay, great. But have a degree in something else.
Yeah, yeah. You need to have something.
Yeah, study something. Give me a freaking degree from college. And so I started journalism and theater at the same time.
And then you start. You've been acting all your life pretty much.
Yeah.
And then,
And then
this whole thing with stand up, like, why did you decide to start even looking?
Because I wanted it from the very beginning, but it was like in Venezuela, stand up is not, it was not, especially back
then.
So
were you like stand up before in Venice? Like, were you?
Oh, man, I was a huge fan of Jerry Seinfeld. And when Seinfeld came and George Lopez, Chris Rock, I was so scared. I will always dream like, oh my God, I want to do that at one point in my life. Mm-hmm. And then I came here to LA and I was like, acting wasn't like going anywhere. And I was getting depressed. I was like, started working like at a pizzeria, doing Uber, doing like this.
Well, to be fair, every time he got an audition, he would go to the audition and he'd be like, andale, andale, andale. And they're like, why are you doing this, sir?
Andale,
like,
pepperoni pizza.
That's all I get.
Well, yeah, and this also brings me back to my original question, which was, you weren't involved, you just went for it. You came here on a whim.
You didn't
come here with a job already.
I was doing great back then. And then it happened, the movie with the Goya. It happened. I was doing a TV show in Colombia, and it was like I was making good money and all that. And all of a sudden, like, start dating this actress. She was filming something here, and she's like, hey, why don't you come to LA? And I was like, oh yeah, like, I've never been to LA, so.
Women. Yeah. They always do it. Why don't you just come to where I live? Okay.
Exactly. That's like, and then, long story short, I was like, I lost all my money because I was like doing Airbnb. Tarantino's gonna discover me because I was doing like film festivals. Oh no, you know who's gonna discover me? And it didn't happen at all, dude. Everything.
Wait, how long did you do that for? To lose or like to have, you know, like,
well, it
of
takes
the
a lot of money. What people don't know is like you have to spend a lot of money to be legal in this country and to work as an actor. Yeah.
Well,
you know this.
He's Canadian.
So. Yeah, I'm on a visa as well. Yeah. So, yeah, you gotta.
Yeah, you know that. And it's like, it's $7,000, the O-1. And then the green card is like $14,000. Yeah. And you're like putting more money. And when you get the visa O-1, I don't know if this happens to you, you go to networks and they're like, oh, we don't work with visa O-1.
Yeah, it has to be our visa O-1. We have to sponsor it, right? That happened.
No, they say no, because in case, like, if you go to NBC right now, right? And say, like, oh, we love you, man. You're amazing and great. What's your status? And you're like, I have an O-1. It's like, no. Our contract is for 7 years. Your O-1 expires in 2 years.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of actors. Mm-hmm. I know so many actors, man, that have lost the opportunity, you know, to book something like a serious regular or something because of their status.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I lost something when I was first here because my own buddy was.
Oh, yeah?
I got an acting job with a Disney show. Uh-huh. And I stupidly said, when I was just hanging out and chatting, and then I started talking about Canada, they didn't realize I was from Canada or anything. I had this role as a bouncer on a kid's show, and then I was like, yeah, I'm in Canada. And then they were like, oh, are you Canadian? And then about an hour later, they asked
they
me to come to
you
office.
Out.
They're like, hey, how are you working here? And I was like, oh, I got my O-1 visa. I thought everything would be fine. And then they went, oh, no, we don't work with O-1 visa. And I'm like, I thought that meant, I thought that means we're okay. Yeah. And it doesn't to some.
It doesn't work. It doesn't work. Till today, people are like, we don't work with
O-1. Oh, really?
Yeah. Sometimes they say that, like, the breakdowns. It's like, you see, you got that question. Our question is, that people look at Francisco and me, it's like, you have a social security number?
No, they never ask me that.
He's not the Latino.
What are you talking about? I just got to book this shit.
You're okay. But I tell you what you did remind me of, though, too. Like, before I was even a comedian, when I went to Edinburgh, when I first went to Scotland, I had saved up, like, a little less than $1,000, like Canadian, you know, to go on my adventure. and I got a taxi from the airport when I landed in Edinburgh into the city, and it just chewed through like 1/10 of my budget. I thought I had enough going by Canadian standards. So I'm just showing up in Britain at the height of the value of their pound as well. I just showed up in Edinburgh, like just shell shocked, going, I am not going to last 3 days in this country. Holy
shit. So what'd you do?
Shit. I got my shit together. I got a job.
You got a job then?
Oh, really?
First thing I spent money on was doing resumes.
Were you a stripper there? Were you a stripper in Scotland?
No, the lucky thing is that British people are terrible at customer service because the class system and stuff. So British people aren't good at that. And that's why Canadians and Australians are all in the bars in Britain. If you're out in Britain, you'll notice Canadians and Australians behind the bar all the time because we're just kind of more polite.
You guys are too nice. Yes.
We're probably too nice, but we're nice, but we're perfect nice British bar and restaurant scene. So I managed to get a job like after about 4 days. When I was down to my last $100, got the job, and then that was what allowed me to stay in Britain. But that shell shock of like, oh God, this is not going to be financially viable.
So your first big move was to the U.S., I guess. Well, I mean, you lived in Colombia, right?
I lived there. But here I was like, okay, let me see what this is all about. And then it's like finding agents, finding managers. It's insane. It's another game.
Which is crazy because it's like you're well established in Latin America, but it doesn't mean anything.
But for me, it helped me that I had like two movies in a New York Film Festival, and this manager, she approached me and we have this discussion, and she was really, really, really big manager here. And I love New York so much, and that I was like, oh, so I'm going to be here. And she's like, no, if you want to do movies and TV shows, you got to go to L.A., she told me you have to move to LA, and that's how it started. Then you start the legal thing, you know, waiting for the freaking visa one, and then you have to change for the other one because it's like people will have a hard time for that.
It's not that bad, LA over New York. It's not that bad.
No. But the thing is, like, I'm a theater guy. I love theater. Like, I love really, like, not musicals. I don't like musicals.
Right,
they're too long. It's everything's like opera. Opera is about the same thing all the time, and I don't. It's for too long. But music, but theater, it's amazing. And in New York, you can watch like a really nice play for $10.
Yeah. It's like that's the town.
Yeah, exactly.
In the U.S. for theater
and for stand-up.
And for stand-up too. Right? I mean, to do stand-up, you do definitely get much better in New York. I do, even though I'm from here, you know, live here, you know, yeah, definitely it's much, but you get more opportunities. There's more opportunities to do stand up, but more like, so you get definitely more the reps.
There's more shows as well.
More shows, more everything, you know. So,
about the audience? Because I never done stand up in
it's actually better too because they're so like well versed in stand up, like they're good stand up. So they know what's good or bad,
but they're not skeptical. They're like, "Oh, make me laugh."
No, but they're like, they're you gotta be good.
Oh, okay.
Like you can't because they know what's good and what's not. You know, like if you do hacky stuff or like very like, you know, they'd be like, you gotta be real, kind of stuff. So you do have to kind of bring your A game all the time.
There's a lot less here in L.A. I was trying to explain to some friends here in L.A. I mean, I love performing stand-up anywhere, but on a bill here in L.A., a lot of times 30% of the performers are stand-ups. And the other 70% is made up of a radio presenter, an actress, somebody who works at a car showroom who wants to get more courage and all this. You're like, what is this variety of? So that's why I know. That's what an L.A. comedy show is or it can be.
It's very eclectic. It's like it's – man, for me, I want to do it right. I wanted to be, I was like, if I'm going to do stand-up, I gotta make it work and I got
to
be.
Which is why he reached out to me.
Yeah.
Right.
He wanted to do it right.
So the ego.
You got to come to the big guns. Yes. You got to go to the big guns here.
He actually did reach out to me. He slid into my DMs.
Yeah.
You know, but he was like, hey, I'm Venezuela. I'm an actor, but I want to start doing stand up. You're the best of the best. So, like,
Is that the direct translation? It was written in Spanish,
it was
right?
Written in Spanish, yes, yes. And like, that, hey,
that's
man.
What it translates.
Well, he was mostly like, arriba, arriba, andale, andale. I was like, what? But no, but he reached out and then we met and then. And then, yeah, we met, and it's funny because it's kind of like a little bit like how I met. Well, no. I mean, yours was different, but it's something where, like, I also met you through to watch you perform and stuff like that. But I met him at a coffee shop kind of like, and we started talking.
Yeah, and he was like, so listen, what do you want? You want to do stand-up stuff? And it's like, you're another actor in L.A. from Venezuela? And I was like, chill, man. Like,
why wasn't like that?
He was like, hey.
He's trying to break you down. Busy.
You know him.
He knows you're on the Mayans. Well, so he's
no,
like, I'm going to come in.
No, back then he wasn't the Mayans.
Oh, right.
Then I wasn't the pizzeria.
Well, I did grab him and be like, hey, do a Speedy Gonzalez right now. I'm going to beat you up. Come on.
You better not be coming back in here with that Speedy Gonzalez shit. That's getting tired already.
Yeah. Now go buy me a muffin.
This is fantastic. How many gigs you got under your belt now?
Oh, I haven't counted them, but it's like
But how long have you done it for now? Like, since
I started like a year before the pandemic, maybe a year and a half before the pandemic.
So you're three years in, so you're still a baby.
Yeah, I mean,
stand up baby.
And for me, it's the scariest thing you could ever do. Like, I have done theater, I have done movies, I did telenovelas, and this is like, there's nothing like stand up, because I always say with movies, even with a show, like I'm doing a show right now, and I'm like, I'm not crazy about the editing, how they do that, and it's like, and I can blame that, and sometimes right. I can blame the script, sometimes I can blame the director. Here is like, it's you.
It's 100%. Yeah, you're the everything. Totally, you're the editor. Exactly. You're the director. You're the producer. Yeah.
But that's also what I love about stand up, that you control everything. If you want to do a voice, just freaking do a voice. If I want to do Speedy Gonzalez, I go with Speedy Gonzalez. If I don't want to say something, I just don't say it.
Yeah.
But like when you do,
I mean, you do have to say stuff. I mean, you can't just
can be a mime.
But if he doesn't want to,
what about if I'm Marcel Marceau?
Sometimes I just stand there. Yeah,
it's such a bully. This guy, eh? But yeah, it's like that. So for me, I was like, oh, I got to do it right, because Venezuelan humor and some of Latin American countries, they're like, we laugh about everything, and pretty much we don't have like this, snowflakes or people like they have to walk on shells and say like, oh, that's offensive. No, like in Venezuela, it's like, let's say in Venezuela, if you're Asian, your name is Chino. And it doesn't matter if you're Korean, Vietnamese, Philippine, it doesn't matter. Your name is Chino. And you will introduce yourself like, hey, I'm Guillermo Chino. And they're like, oh, that's
okay.
Yeah. We don't have like those kind of problems, We have other kind of problems.
Yeah, you have enough real world problems.
Exactly.
Instead of getting like caught up in
those
things.
I gotta tell people, like, listen, if you don't burn my house, you can call me whatever the fuck, whatever that you want.
Yeah.
So I started doing taking classes at Second City, and then I found this guy, Kerry Otis. He has a stand-up workshop, and I did like two seminars with him, and so that's how I started, because I was like, I want to make this right, and I don't want to fuck it up, because if I say here, if you say the wrong word, that's it, you're done.
Yeah.
If you get recorded and people just post that, you're like, eh.
Yeah. It's a funny little era that we're in, isn't it? I hope that it's loosening up a little bit.
It's not at all.
You think so? I feel a little bit less risk sometimes of, when somebody's offended at something you did.
People are getting tackled here, man. People are getting like.
Oh yeah, I've had some very worked up people, but I guess I feel less threatened by them than I did a couple years ago.
Yeah, I just do.
It feels less consequential to me anyway. Yeah. But who knows? It's always.
But I do feel it's addictive. Like, it's something that I enjoy so much. And I get this, like, whenever I make people laugh and I'm like, oh my God, they look the opposite that I look. Like, they've been, like, their upbringing is so different from mine. Because it's like, because sometimes you get used to, making your family laugh or your friends, right? But when you see, like, a complete stranger in a different language and they're freaking laughing loud, it's like a rush that. nobody gives you something similar, right?
That's what I love, too. I think that's what we all love.
Yeah, that's the adrenaline, that's the drug the into it.
Am I explaining to you stand-up right now?
I mean, yes, I don't know why.
And that is what outweighs.
I don't know why you're doing it, but we both know
what we're doing.
That is what outweighs the one or two people who get offended, is the body of people. Look, they all liked it.
Yeah.
So your first big move was here, but out of all the places that you lived, what's the favorite place that you have traveled to or that you lived in?
Argentina is pretty awesome.
Argentina
is pretty, like, and it's so, like, the culture in Argentina is insane. They have, like, I find that the best comedians, like, they do stand up in Latin America are from Argentina as well. Because they have, like, very, like, the film industry is huge. The theater, Argentina, Buenos Aires has 300 theaters.
Right.
Just Buenos Aires. So you can go from Monday to Monday and
just play. It's like New York.
Yeah. It's insane.
I've got some stupid questions coming. Yeah, can I ask some stupid Canadian?
Argentina is a country.
Can I ask some stupid Canadian European
please
Union?
Please do.
So as I was based in Britain for like 15 years of my stand-up career, European Union, they've left the European Union now. I left Britain.
Brexit.
I left Britain. Yeah, they Brexited as I Brexited and came here to America. Okay. So I haven't. Yeah, so I escaped at the right time. But anyway, I for those 15 years, I could work in Sweden. I can work, in Holland.
Like nothing. You can just travel.
Yeah, with my European Union. Yeah. Does it work that way? Can you just freely go and work?
I don't know. Like, that's a thing.
Now it's easier than having like a working visa here, like a visa to work here. It's because, like, you can, let's say, I did a show in Colombia and it took me like a month to just to get the papers, but
right,
I was
okay.
Like the producers, they took care of that. But it's in Argentina for humanitarian reasons, because Venezuela is a freaking mess right now.
Yeah.
Argentina said, the president said, you know what, like, if you're Venezuelan and you are a doctor, you can work here as a doctor. So there's...
Mm. Okay, so you do have a bit of
because
a
you have
free...
the sympathy of other countries that they're like, okay, Venezuela is in a turmoil, like, it's living a humanitarian crisis. Oh,
but they're like, hey, like, what
neighbors?
Do you do? Yeah. I do Speedy Gonzalez. Fucking get a visa.
Yeah,
give me a visa.
Back
in the line.
Go to
Go to
Bolivia. It's like, not Argentina. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay. Oh, that's good. That's
it's good.
Pretty good.
Yeah, it's good, but it's hard. It's hard to work there. It's like, for instance, like countries like Argentina, they have so many actors and so many comedians that when I was studying there, they couldn't believe I was making a living as an actor, because they're like, there's so many actors there and they're really good. But it's like there's like a minority that actually can make a good living out of it.
Mm. Yeah,
the same as Spain.
So it's kind of like LA with stand-up.
Yeah.
It's like just a minority makes the real money. Everybody's like, I'll do your show for $20. I actually need this $20.
But funny thing, this entertainment industry, isn't it?
It's hilarious.
It's pretty hard to make a living.
Yeah.
It's tough, dude. It's tough.
And so going back to Venezuela, because you're from Venezuela, but you're from a small town. Not small town. Like
yeah, it's small.
Like not the capital. I mean, because it's Venezuela. It's like,
because it's from the capital.
Yeah. Well, the Venezuela is like, it's a funny country because it's like.
I like this. Who's more? Let's play. Here's a game. Everybody at home are playing. Who's more Venezuelan?
Well, he is. But like. No, but like, I don't know if this is like in Canada. Like in Canada, the capital. What's the capital of Canada?
The capital?
Ottawa.
Ottawa. So Ottawa. Do people? I don't feel that, because I know more Toronto than Ottawa. But like,
yeah, a lot of people think Toronto is the capital.
Yeah,
but like, do people like from Ottawa feel that they're better than everybody in Canada?
No, that would be Toronto.
That would be Toronto. Okay.
Or Montreal, right?
Or Montreal is a bigger. There's bigger cities, but like
our major cities are pretty proud of themselves. Yeah, Calgary, Vancouver, Montreal, and Toronto.
But but in Venezuela, it's weird because it's like other big cities in Venezuela are not as popular as they should be. Like compared to the cap. Like even Colombia, like there's.
Yeah,
but in Venezuela it's weird. Like people from Caracas, which is the capital, they feel that they're better than.
They feel that they're way better than the people from.
Than everybody else in,
That is kind of our case with Toronto. I would say Toronto is our, people. And the rest of Canada looks at Toronto that way too.
Oh, got it.
The term Schadenfreude, or like wishing. not, he's wishing harm or whatever. Oh, okay. But I'd say the rest of Canada, like in hockey, for example, the Toronto Maple Leafs are
they, like the Yankees.
When they get called Canada's team, there's a lot of Canada that just goes, oh, fuck off. Oh, fuck off. We have our own teams. We've got, you know, we've got good, six other teams here. Why does Toronto? And like, I hear it here too. Like, yeah, the Yankees and in football when they call the
Cowboys.
Cowboys, the America's team. And whenever I hear that, I'm like, I think a lot of America wants them to fuck right off.
Exactly.
With that. So yes, so I understand what you're.
So so like growing up over there, like did you? Because you always traveling to Caracas. Like, were there any like you know like it could be like family travels or just travel when you were older, like that something that
I didn't
that
enjoy was... Caracas that much, like because it was too crowded. It was traffic was terrible, and it was that vibe. It's that the people from Caracas that they were like, oh, I'm better than you.
Yeah. You know that vibe is mostly in our own heads, though, right?
Oh, yeah. No. But if you ask every Venezuelan, they say
we are better. Yeah, right.
Yes. if how you translate this, Venezuelans from Caracas, they say Caracas es Caracas y lo demás es Monte Culebra.
Yeah. So basically, it's like saying like Caracas is Caracas, the city, and then everything else is just. Jungle and snakes.
And snakes.
That's kind of
wow.
Like
that.
They will say that. Yeah, they will say that to you.
Wow, that's you,
yeah. So growing up, did you when you had you know family vacation stuff like that? Did you have to kill any snakes and go through the jungle?
Man,
No. But do you have any stories or like?
You have to hustle more. If you're from Barquisimeto, like, because TV wasn't there for us.
Yeah, of course.
If you were born and raised in Caracas, you can audition for TV shows. For
right there. Well, it's kind of like here in the U.S. where like somebody from Omaha, you know, it's like, well, I got to go to a big city to do, you know, something.
Right.
Exactly. So for me, it was just theater. The only thing I could do. And that's what I did. But it's like, other than that, I was like, I did theater in my hometown, but it was like nothing. It was very.
But my question that you keep not trying to answer. No, I'm just saying like.
It's because you're from Caracas.
Now you see. Now you see. It's like, hey, listen.
I'll do it on my own time there, big city boy.
No, like, is there any particular like family trips that you remember that were like something funny happened or something crazy happened or like a trip like with your family or just by yourself like that you had to you know in your car or like in a plane in Venezuela you know
like to Caracas.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't have to be like
how big is your family?
My family is big. It's very big. My I mean I have two sisters and I have like a lot of cousins. They're girls. There was just girls.
Just so girls.
I was
and
the
then
only
you.
Boy. I was the only boy at my like my family. I was I had like one cousin. He was a boy and he had a mustache when he was like 12 years old. He wouldn't play with kids.
Right.
He was very mature. He was very into you know like fixing
because
the
of
cars.
The mustache.
I mean he was very like I don't play with kids. He was older than me.
But he was 12.
He was 12.
How old were you?
I mean I was like 8 or something.
Oh God!
But
got it.
The whole like I was always surrounded by women. So that's pretty much. But there was a lot of them. So
So did you do family holidays growing up? Did like you trips? Go traveling?
Yeah,
as a family?
Yeah, totally. All right.
So anything that you remember that was crazy, that funny?
Oh, yeah. We did so many things. We used to go. I mean, and I remember we used to go a lot.
Maybe you should have asked the question because he answered it right. He's answering it right away.
What's that?
What?
Like I think he finally understood. Yeah. I've been trying to ask him this question, and you're like,
I broke it down for you.
You finally.
Turns out
maybe he wasn't understanding me.
We got two guys from Venezuela here, and I'm the one translating between them.
That's funny.
What do you remember? You were saying.
So I remember we used to go to my uncle's farm.
Okay. And you say farm.
And I love that.
Because it's from the Dinamarca.
But it was far away. It was not in the small.
I know.
It was another one.
I know.
But it was, I mean, and we used to go and it was fun because we got to like ride horses and my uncle one day, like he tried to, he was doing with the axe, with an axe, he was trying to make a fire.
Fire.
Right.
Yeah.
And he cut his toe.
He cut his toe?
He cut his toe, like, jeez. Really, really bad. And my parents, my uncles, they drink a lot. Like, they drink a lot.
And he that's why he cut his toe. I mean, of course, he was fucking drunk.
And he swear to God,
don't drink an axe.
And I swear to God, my other uncle, he didn't want to go because like a hospital or whatever, it was very, very far away. And he did, don't worry about it. We're going to put some coffee and we're going to like with a knife, he put the knife like right of where the fire is. What? I swear to God.
Oh.
They were so drunk that they seal actually, you know, the thing when he
gets. Coffee? Got,
like pretty, pretty bad.
Why coffee?
This is not culture. Like if you, very if you Rambo. Coffee, yeah. If you put coffee will stop you from bleeding.
Really?
Yeah, that's a fact. That's a fact. Google this shit. Yeah.
I don't believe you.
Very interesting. I mean,
so you will have like that uncle. He's very. I love that guy.
So what? He lost his toe?
Like half of it. You know, it was not like complete. Like,
oh God, I got it. It was bleeding.
Please tell me it became a nickname. Is he like Toeless Joe or something?
I wish, but
yeah. So he's fine.
Of course, yeah, he's fine. He's fine.
But it's just like, typical.
But I just love like the dynamic of, you know, of them because they were like, they're so playful. They drink a lot, dude. They're like they love to have like a good time. So my uncle, he will drink like 2 days in a row and he wouldn't eat anything. And we'll say like,
so he's an alcoholic.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. I think that's like, the thing about like in Venezuela and Latin country. I think is like, when, there's a lot of alcoholics, and then that they're like, no, we just drink. It's like, no, you got a problem. Like,
you know what? Yeah, exactly. But it happens a lot that they work during the week so much. And then weekends come, and they're like,
yeah.
I drink the whole freaking weekend.
Yeah.
And he will be in his farm, and we will be like gathering and talking. He will be like, I think I became an actor because of him. Because he's such a funny guy.
Yeah.
And he's hilarious. And he's like everybody. And he will be drinking, man. And he will be like right where he was at.
He will do what?
Like pee. He will pee.
What?
He will pee. Oh my God. And then my aunt will come.
I love how you're
come.
Like, and he's so funny.
And then my aunt will come. Because he will be like outdoors. He will be like outdoors. And then
you're
my
the
aunt
sweetest
will...
man. That Wait, so... He's raised amongst women. And he just thinks that when his drunken uncle pisses himself, he's just being funny again.
Wait, but like, wait a second. So like, so he's just like standing there. Like, is this like
he will do it on purpose. But, he will do it totally.
But is it like Bradley Cooper in A Star Is Born, where he's just like getting
not his pants? No, he was not trying to hold that back at all.
But don't he take out his dick?
But like at the patio? No.
He's so he just pees his pants?
Yeah, he pees his pants, and then my aunt, it will be something that they'll do all the time, you know. So they will be
what?
Then my aunt
you
will
see
come.
What people that are not from Caracas, they're fucking animals, fucking peeing, and like nobody does anything.
I loved whatever that happened. I was a kid.
I can picture your family members thinking that I know people like this,
dude. When you see like my aunt's reaction. Like his wife reaction, that was hilarious. He will go, oh, Argenis, otra vez, and they will. It was like the water hose, and they will be like, and they will. And she will be like really mean to him, you know, even like trying to clean the whole thing.
Yeah.
And it was hilarious. And I was like 9 years old.
Yeah.
That was the best, dude.
Yeah.
He was like,
no wonder you got beat up.
Please tell me he was able to go get changed.
No, he will keep.
At the end of the night.
He will keep drinking.
What's he up to now?
They didn't have bathrooms in the farm.
Of course,
why didn't he just go to the bathroom?
He didn't want to. He says,
it's outside. You can even go behind a tree.
I find that people they're funny and they know they're really funny because my uncle, he's still like the life of the party. Like mm-hmm. it will be something that. If he comes, like, and you see him, like, through the door, you will be smiling. You're like, oh, shit, he's coming. That you will be excited.
Yeah, no, I
would. You might not want him to hug you.
He will come, like, we will go to, like, a birthday party, and he will be, like, an old lady, like, let's say, like, 90 years old. And she's like, cheers, we gotta cheers, because I think she's gonna die tomorrow. And people are like, it will be like that, you know?
Wow, you gotta be a certain... kind of person to be able to pull off that line too. She's gonna die tomorrow.
Yeah.
So tonight we party and piss our pants eventually.
And he will say goodbye. And she'll say, "Please don't die. Please don't die." And people will laugh at it.
Wow. I mean, I understand all that. I just don't get the whole peeing stuff without not moving and just in his pants.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I mean, it's if you do it for, I mean, if you do it with kids and all that, you're in a farm, it's hilarious, dude. And I think he was doing it for that too. It's like, it's something that you're like.
Yeah, but the whole thing is that you raise kids to be like, don't pee your pants, go to the bathroom. You're giving the wrong end.
Oh, no, no,
yeah,
no,
that's
no,
a
no,
good
no.
point. If there's some kids who saw that.
Yeah, they're like,
and
oh,
he's the funny uncle.
Yeah.
And then they see that, and then they go to school the next week, and they're like, wait until I hit everybody
but
with
I find
my pee
like,
pants.
That generation
routine.
Didn't care for that, too. You know, they would be like, don't do this, don't do that, don't do that. And they will do everything, right?
Mm-hmm.
You will go to like a wedding, and in Venezuela, people will pull like two chairs, and you'll be like 4 years old, and you will be the kid sleeping.
Oh, yeah,
like,
yeah.
Over the two chairs, yeah. and they will be lancing until 4 a.m. the morning.
Yeah, that's fine, but nobody's peeing on their pants.
So you gotta.
Well, that was a good story about peeing in the.
That was, man.
So I was gonna say, if all the when you travel, is there a custom? Because you travel also a lot, obviously. You know, is there something that you would like to bring that you'd be?
Even better yet, like, what do you miss most about now that you're here and now that you live here and your life is here and you're making TV shows here? You've gotten a lot of parts of the dream.
Yeah.
But what do you miss most about back home that you wish was here?
Oh man, the people, like really the people, like the family. It's like because the food you got, I made food from like that we used to eat, and it's like you can find here like some markets that oh this is the thing I used to enjoy a lot, and but especially like the people, because I find LA it's pretty amazing, it's pretty progressive, we have the best weather, but people are very, you know, like it's hard to make friends here,
right?
And it's like it's hard and it's like my upbringing was like if you're in an elevator you gotta say good day, how you doing, you gotta say good morning. So here, people just don't even lock eyes with you.
Yeah.
It's insane. Like, for me, that was something hard to get used to it.
Yeah.
Because it was like, oh, my God, people don't say hello. People don't say, like, hey, good morning, how you doing?
Mm-hmm.
So I think that is, like, especially having a kid. Like, I have a almost three-year-old kid, and I don't want that, you know.
Right.
I want... My neighbors, I know my neighbors.
Yeah.
Like, I know, back home, I know my neighbors. My neighbors will go and drive, like, 7 hours just to go to my wedding because mm-hmm. I got married, like, in another state, and it was very far away. And that's how, like, you will know more people. You will have more friends. People celebrate. Venezuela, the scarcity is really bad, right?
Yeah.
So let's say whenever I'm in Venezuela, because I go, like, at least once a year, we made a party out of everything, dude. Everything.
Right.
So my sister found cheese. And she's like, I got cheese at the supermarket. And then my mom is like, I have corn flours to make empanadas.
Yeah.
And you will come. And 20 people will come to your place.
And the party just happens.
And
just
it's
erupts.
A fucking party just because of empanadas will happen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that I miss a lot, you know.
Because
you're like, you're obsessed about the dream. You're obsessed about so many things. And then... And you lose perspective about it.
Yeah, people are in their heads here. And I also find that's a thing with cities, like American
big
cities.
City.
Yeah. And big cities. And like London and England, too, when some of the smaller cities, people are just friendlier.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Hey, how are you? Totally. And like where I'm from, too. It's mm-hmm. You say hi in the streets. Whereas, sometimes in the city here, if you say hi in the streets, some of your friends be like, hey, don't.
That's creepy. Don't do that.
Stop being nice to people.
Oh, my mom would say, like, say good morning. I'm like, good morning. They say good morning. She will be like, if you don't say good morning, I'm, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a certain way I remember in London I had to learn, because I'm not intimidated by anybody in Los Angeles or in our parts of Los Angeles.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm not going to South Central LA that often. But generally in London, I remember having to learn in London that the medium level of when you're in more dangerous parts in London, the media, like, don't give full eye contact, but also don't just look to the... You have to have that middle thing.
Yeah,
I'm minding my own fucking business,
yeah.
And I know you're there, but you mind your own fucking
like,
business.
I think the best way to describe it is kind of like, if you're seeing somebody peeing their pants, it's kind of like, you kind of like go like this, you don't look at them, but you keep walking, because that guy's peeing their pants.
Or you laugh.
Yeah. And then, So you've been here just almost like 5 years now.
No,
right?
Almost like eight years.
8 years. Yeah. 8 years in the U.S. And I was gonna say, is there when you travel, is there any like sentimental things that you bring with you, or are you superstitious when you travel? Or
not at all. My passport is the most sentimental thing because it's so hard to get a Venezuelan passport, man.
Really?
And I'm like, oh right. Yeah, you gotta hold to that. Like, I will swallow my passport because it's very hard to get a passport from Venezuela. And
other than that,
It's because of the corruption and so many things. So sometimes, like, if you lose your passport, oh my god, just to get one, it's like you gotta pay a lot of money.
Oh,
and
really?
So, wow. But other than that, it's like nothing. I think what's gonna happen is gonna happen no matter what. And so I don't.
So you don't like bring like something to remember, like.
And what about now that you're doing stand up? Yeah. Do you have when you're performing? Yeah. Do you have like a favorite? Do you have like, because sometimes we're superstitious in those ways too. Like, you got a shirt that you think you have good shows.
Yeah.
In. Are you superstitious? And a shirt that you don't have good shows in. Are you feeling that kind of thing yet, or are you still like, I just still gotta just learn the art form and who gives a shit?
I just got to remind me of like trying to be more present than in my head, because sometimes I try when I have my set, like, because I can memorize a lot because I'm an actor. So
right.
I used to do plays, I used to do theater, and it's like I will do a play and I will remember like everything without like missing one word. It will be like something like that. So my stand up, I will be like, okay, I'll remember everything. But sometimes I forget to oh, this is not working. I have to relax and then I have to move on.
Right.
It's very hard. So for me, it's like I think I'm trying to, when I do stand up, I try to be more comfortable. So like,
right.
Because I was trying to do so hard, like to say, oh, I want to have this look and I want to have this, you know, and it will tense me. It will be like,
oh, okay.
The opposite.
So if anything, I was just going to say, so it's the opposite. So you're learning to try to relax all those other things and not overthink all the other
exactly.
To it.
And to connect with
good.
The audience. Like I have learned that a lot from Francisco. He's like, oh, remember to connect. That's the most important thing. Because for me, I have a hard time, you know, doing crowd work, especially because English is not my first language.
Right.
Like in Spanish, we can have this interview and I would be like interacting and be more spontaneous than in English.
Yeah, that's tough to do with an English audience. I just start speaking Spanish to them. Oh, what the fuck? I'm trying to connect with you right now.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And I hate people, man, that go to freaking comedy clubs and they're like, make me laugh. And I'm like, no, it's like, where in the... Like,
yeah. Well, unfortunately, there are people out there who sometimes they don't need a laugh; they need a cure. And I'm going to go to the comedy show to get cured for what's pissing me off.
Yeah, or they come with an attitude or something, which is I don't understand that when people come to anything, it doesn't have to be like a comedy show, like or event or something. It's like, if you don't want to be there, why are you there? You know what I mean? If you're not, because I get it. Like sometimes it's like you have to be, I think with stand up and with everything, you have to be in the mood to, you know, like you have to be in the mood to laugh. You have to be in the mood to watch
contribute.
A baseball game.
You have to fight and contribute yourself before the artist or whoever's performing for you gives you everything.
And there's another extreme. Like, have you been to like improv, like sketch comedy shows?
Yeah.
I hate that kind of audience because they're like, they overdo it. Like they're all the time.
Oh,
like,
when it's,
oh, here, this is my card. Like,
oh, you mean no. When it's when it's in their home base, you know, like when it's a sketch or improv, like at the school.
Like you go to Second City or Groundlings.
Yes.
And these people are
they're
like,
very supportive.
Oh, the sun is too. And people, ah, that was not fun.
Yeah, it's not hard to storm in front of those. They're very supportive. But everything.
They're very supportive.
Like, oh,
yeah.
Oh, you're a genius.
Like, no, you're not.
Yeah, it's gotta be a middle.
There has to be something. But I find that audience, they're like, they're trying to make their best, you know, to make it work. That's just like
sometimes they think they're on show too. I think.
Yeah,
sometimes
totally.
Like I'm.
Which is that's kind of like that audience is kind of like having like an audience that's so supportive. It's kind of like they're faking orgasms. You know what I mean? Like they're you know, like come on, that wasn't that.
Yeah. Wasn't that good?
Come on, it's like a girl. It's like I haven't even touched it,
dudes. I have one that's getting on my nerves. I have one. There's a show that when I watched in the audience, see if you recognize, there was a, because I want natural laughter and stuff like this, yeah. But there's a TV show that has a guy who woos.
Okay.
When it's funny and there's laughter, and I always hear like a woo. I'm like, that's not somebody who's finding things funny. He thinks that he's contributing, but to me, it just throws the whole audience off when you're hearing this woo. Nobody.
Or they're laughing too hard.
Nobody laughs like that. Nobody's, you're trying.
Especially like the talk shows, you know, the audience at the talk shows. Like I used to go, like, especially like in Venezuela, people will say like, hey, how you guys doing? So you look great. Have you lost weight? And people are like, you're like, nah. That was not.
No.
They pay you a lot to do that.
And you can't say anything. You can't even, if the performers or the interviewee is there, they can't go, all right, you're not laughing naturally. Nobody goes, woo! Nobody, you don't do that.
Well, I think we almost hit the time to, you know. So, you want to ask the...
What do we got? We got our fun. We've rifled through everything.
I mean...
it's been really fun, man. Thanks. Oh, thanks, man, a lot. It's been very insightful. And I'm just...
Yeah, now you know more about
I do know
Venezuela.
More. You know, South
America. You know
more
about Francisco now.
I know that I had I've always had a feeling that he's a big city mouse. I've always known.
And by the way, throughout this whole, episode... Guillermo has peed his pants, which is a good thing to know. He was peeing his pants the whole time.
which is part of the hilarity.
It's part of the thing.
It's awesome, you know, because South America is the only continent I haven't been to.
Oh, wow.
Well, let me ask you something.
I've been there.
Let me ask you something. Is that like, did you find that, have you ever thought that if you do the British accent here, you will get more work?
My British accent's very goofy and comical anyway, and I have been asked to do it for some commercial auditions and stuff like that. But I do think that mastery of accents would help.
Okay,
I haven't shown up with that really that skill set. I have more of a mastery of a mockery of accents because I do Scottish accents and British accents in my stand up, but it's usually a goofy version of it, and it's made to mock the character I'm talking about or something. But I think there is a real skill set to doing, I'm sure you guys must notice it, like when you speak in your Spanish accent.
Yeah, no, of course, yeah.
And you can turn it up a notch. That'll get more attention.
Of course.
Because it's impressive, like the amount of actors that they come from England and they nailed it here.
Yeah.
Like crazy.
I think the British are great.
They're amazing. Well, I think it's kind of like they invented the language pretty much. It's kind of like,
and also
it's easy to them to go like, oh, I got to do an American. Yeah, that's pretty easy.
And also, if you're ever in Britain, their accents are different every 10 miles. Every 10, like it's very, I always think it's just because they're so, like back in the day, they probably had to know who an outsider was. And as soon as they hear that slightly different dialect, they're like, he's from 10 miles down the road. And I think that's how they learn to master other accents and stuff.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. No, I think so too. Yeah.
Yeah. We have one final question that we always ask our guests.
Okay.
Thank you very much for hanging out with us.
Had a blast.
It's been awesome. And now I know where to go in South America too.
Yeah.
But do you have any like favorite piece of travel advice that you like to hand on to people if they're going? Say I was going to Venezuela. Uh-huh. Here, I'll ask this to both of you guys.
Yeah.
If I was going to Venezuela and I just came in and went, I've got a carry-on, I've booked my flight to Venezuela, what would be your guys' first piece of advice to me other than shut the fuck up and don't beware of the snakes in the jungle.
Pretend you're mute. And then...
I think this is for mostly every country. I think it's good to know at least somebody there, or at least someone that can like direct you how to you don't show up. I'm like, hey, I'm like a tourist.
I will say this is a cliche, but it's true. If you go to Venezuela, don't bring your girlfriend, don't bring your wife. Venezuela has the most beautiful women in the entire planet. It's insane.
Right.
They're very nice. They're very nice people. And
I'm booking my flight now, actually. That's all right. This is, you just, baby, I didn't even know I was going to go to Venezuela.
JJ's
next
always
week.
Looking for love.
But yeah, totally, man. And it's, let's say if you go there, just like, you're going to learn how to dance salsa. It's going to be, but also you got to, it's a wonderful country. And I think like when you go to travel, I have like three rules really. Like get like intoxicated because you eat something random at the streets. Like right. I go to Argentina or whatever place, I'm like, I'm gonna eat like a crazy thing that I never eat in my life.
Yeah.
And then get lost. You gotta get lost.
Right. Have the adventure.
Yes, have the adventure.
Right.
That's
okay. Well, this brings me to question B, an addendum to it. Like, what if, because I don't know any Spanish. I've lived in LA for 5 years now, and I can barely ask for tacos correctly. But if you can only speak English, can you holiday in Venezuela, or would it help if I learned a few
places
words?
That you? I mean, some people, yeah. Most people, speak
you can
English.
Go to the fancy places. You know, let's say Los Roques, which is like it's an amazing place. Like they have like a bunch of islands, and it's beautiful. And there's like where rich people go. Like it's like right. Cancun, like Tulum to Mexicans. Not every Mexican has been in Tulum. You know,
right?
So Venezuela, we have that. We have the Amazonas, so people will speak English. Like most of the people that I know in my hometown, they speak English. Like
yeah,
right.
And I think now there's more people that speak English.
Oh yeah, totally, totally.
And I've worked in Spain, and I've holiday. I've been to Spain a lot, but I never felt. There's lots of expats there. There's lots of British influence. There's lots of French influence. There's lots of.
Let me ask you this question: why is it that you call yourself? Aren't you just an immigrant?
Am I an immigrant? Yeah.
Like an expat. What's the difference between an expat and an immigrant? Isn't it the same thing?
Well, I think expats are of the Her Majesty's. I would have to look
up. But if you live in a different country, you're an immigrant, right?
Yes, yeah.
So you're an immigrant.
Yeah. Yes, I'm an immigrant.
So
yeah.
We're just three immigrants?
No, because a lot of like, you know, like.
When they say expat.
Like, especially like, yeah, people, like Americans that live in Mexico is like, I'm an expat. I'm like, you're an immigrant. Right? Wouldn't that be the same case? You just live in Mexico now. So, like, it's kind of like what they call Mexicans here, immigrants.
Yeah, I guess I'd have to look it up. But yeah,
like, why is it that
they're very similar?
But I think that's the name so they don't feel like immigrants.
Oh.
You know, okay. I feel like that's the name. It's like, I'm better than an immigrant. It's like, no, you're still an immigrant if you're not from that country, living in that country, right?
Yeah.
Isn't it?
But I like being an immigrant. I love being an immigrant.
No, but I'm just saying the name that they use. Because like Americans, when they live in Mexico, they call themselves expats. And I'm like,
but it's weird.
Aren't you still an immigrant? Like a Mexican or somebody else that lives here?
Yeah. I don't use the term expat here, though, actually. I only used it in Europe.
Oh, so you used it for other people. That's so interesting.
yeah. Here, I'm an immigrant. So that's interesting. Might have to figure this out. Why it's,
What's the difference, or why is it people call themselves that? Is it because to make themselves feel better, or is there an actual difference?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Are you still trying to make it somewhere when you're an immigrant? But when you're an expat, are you just done and visiting?
That could be a thing. Yeah, that's what I want to know. I don't want to, you know. That's
well,
true.
If we were at the start of our podcast, we'd look it up right now, but we're not. So for those of you guys can fucking Google at home, but so, we're wrapping this puppy up.
Where do people can, you know, you're in Mayans MC right now, can find you on social media if you want to tell them or like?
Oh, yeah, you can watch Mayans MC and on FX on Hulu. And I just started TikTok.
Oh, what's your handle?
At El Guillermo Garcia.
That's for everything?
At El Guillermo Garcia Twitter and at El Guillermo Garcia Instagram. Yeah, it's Twitter I do most, but it's like, yeah, and TikTok, I don't get it. I just don't get it.
Yeah, well, it only takes one of your TikToks, and then you'll be like, I get it now.
Yeah. Oh, it went viral. I get it now. Yeah. This is what it means.
Boom.
Well, thank you for coming. Muchas gracias por venir. We appreciate it. And hopefully we'll have you back soon.
Yeah, thanks, bud. That was fantastic.
Appreciate it.
Bye, Alou.
Thanks.
Cheers.